Let's go to the book of Exodus this morning. Old Testament, second book of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus. We're going to go to chapter 33. I know we spend most of our time in the New Testament with our scripture readings, but today we're going to talk about an old familiar story from the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 33, starting at verse 12. And if you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Great. Let's stand while God's word is being read. I am going to read verses 12 through verse 23. God's word says this: Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name, and you have found favor with me.' If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." Let's go to God in prayer. Father, what great words from this great Old Testament book of your servant Moses and how you worked in his life. Father, we want you to work in our life too. And it starts by knowing and understanding your word a little bit better. Father, you have brought me here to this church, Beech Grove, to be your voice. And that is a responsibility I don't take lightly. Lord, I need to make sure that what I say here this morning, what you want me to say, what the Spirit has put in my heart and on this paper, that you will be glorified above all things, that your name, the name above all names, will be praised. The name and the only name that is worthy to be praised. Work on our hearts and our minds and our souls this morning. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Rarely do I bring props with me to illustrate a sermon. One time I did bring a baseball bat. Didn't use it on anyone. One time I did bring some ashes. One time I did bring a puzzle. And one time I brought a coin holder. Now, those are the only props that I really remember me ever bringing to a service in the last 3 years here at Beech Grove. But today I have a prop that I brought with me. brought a box. A box. This is my box. And I can put anything I want in my box. You know why I can do that? Because it's my box. And I have other boxes at home, and I can put whatever I want in those boxes too. But I didn't bring those boxes, I just brought this one. This is the one I decided to bring. I could put many different things in my box. I could put coins in this box that fit rather well. I could put candy in this box. I could put paper clips or other office supplies, I guess, in my box. And I could put other things in my other boxes that I have at home. And you know why I can do that? Because it's my box. Today I also brought another prong. It's just a little mesh thing of marbles. I brought some marbles with me today. These are my marbles. And I'm going to put my marbles into my box. I love my marbles. They're my marbles. And they're not your marbles. You know why I keep these marbles in this box? I'm going to tell you. For several different reasons. One, I want them to be safe. I don't want them getting lost. I don't want them getting damaged. I want them to stay just the way they are. Just the way that I like them. Just the way that I want them to be. And because they are my marbles, I want them to be exactly what I want them to be. So I'll just keep them right here in my box. There's another reason why I put them in this box. I keep them in this box so I know exactly where they will be when I want them and when I need them. And I don't think it'll be a good idea if I tell you where I keep my box. Then you will know where I keep my box, and I don't want you to know where I keep my box. My box. And I'm going to do with my box and with my marbles what I want to do. Because if you knew where I kept my box with my marbles, you might want them too, and I don't want to share them with you. Got that straight? My marbles, my box. I'll probably put a lock on my box with my marbles because just in case somebody else might find them, I don't want anybody else to take my marbles because they might use these marbles for something that I don't want them to use them for. So I'll keep them safe and I'll lock them up. So if I keep them locked up, then you won't have a chance to get to them. Because you see, not only are they my marbles, but I only want my marbles to be used the way I want to use my marbles. I like my box and I like my marbles. I brought this box and these marbles as an object lesson, obviously, for all of us today. We all have boxes in our lives. And no, I don't mean the tangible ones like the one that I have here. They're not the kind that you can see and they're not the kind that you can touch. They are abstract ones, and we all have them because we want to control the contents of what's inside that box, just like I want to control the contents of what's inside my box, my marbles, my box. I want to share with you today one of the biggest mistakes Christians make today. I'm going to remove my marbles from the box. And the sign says, God. Let's at least get them nice and neat. Let's fold them up. We put God in a box. And we do it for the exact same reasons that I put marbles in the box. Let me give you those reasons again in case you weren't listening why I put marbles in my box. And instead of using the word marbles, I'm going to use the word God. And it's funny. Not a whole lot of difference. I want to keep God in my box so I know exactly where He is when I want or need Him. I want God to stay just the way that He is. Just the way that I like Him. Just the way that I want Him to be. He is my God. And I want my God to be exactly what I want my God to be. And I'm not going to tell you where I keep this box, because then you might know and you might want to take Him. And I don't want you to have Him because I don't want to share Him. Can't have Him. And I'll probably put a lock on this box because I don't want anybody else taking Him out. I want to make sure that He's safe in here. Because if you take Him out, you might use Him for something that I don't want you to use Him for. And that could happen if I don't keep this box locked. Because, you see, I want my God, this is my God, I want my God only to be used for what I want my God to be used for. So let me sum this up for you. We do put God in a box, my friends. And when we do, we say these four things. I want Him to be exactly what I want Him to be. Two, I want Him to be available only when I need Him or only when I want Him. The third thing we say is this, I don't want to share Him with anybody. And the fourth thing we say is this, I want Him to do only what I want Him to do. No more and no less. When I got saved, the man who led me to Christ, his name was Jim Driscoll, he started to teach me the truths about the Bible. And he was using this thing called Reformed theology. Reformed theology is the theology and doctrines and creeds that came about as the result of the Protestant Reformation back in the 16th and 17th centuries. But I was a baby in Christ. And I was hungry to grow in my walk. But there were things that he was teaching me that I could not comprehend, things that my mind could not figure out, things that did not sound logical or make a whole lot of sense. So after a while, I decided not to follow his teaching any longer. I decided to start following the teaching of the church that I was attending at that time, which was a United Methodist church. I start following their teaching and also what mainstream preaching and what the TV evangelism was teaching me. Why not? Because that teaching is simple. That teaching is easy believism. With that teaching, I could figure God out. I understood Him completely. He made sense and He was logical. I liked that kind of teaching. Little did I know that by following that kind of teaching, I was putting God in a box. Because He could be exactly what I wanted Him to be, and He could be available only when I needed Him, and I certainly didn't have to share Him with you, and that He would be and do exactly what I wanted Him to do. But I liked them that way. I liked God in my box. You see, as long as He's here, as long as He's here, and I better not show Him too much, as long as He's here, I can have Him my way. He's predictable. He's understandable. He's fair. But most of all, He's within my control. Because He's in my box. I kept God in my box until the fall of 2007. That's when I found out that my mentor, Jim, was right about what he was teaching me. That's when I finally realized that the Bible never teaches that God is confined to my box or your box or anybody's box. God is God. That's when I decided in the fall of 2007 to let Him out. And that is when my spiritual walk went from routine to revived. From routine to renewed. And that's when God brought me here. Today, we start a new sermon series on the glory of God. I wanted to start this series with this illustration because we cannot glorify God or believe in His omniscience, His omnipotence, His omnipresence, and His sovereignty if we keep Him inside of our box. We confine Him. We restrict Him. We don't allow God to be God. Webster defines the word glory as praise and honor or distinction extended by common consent. Or second definition, great beauty and splendor. A God who is confined to this box or our box, imagine it whichever way you want, has no chance to display His great beauty or splendor because we can only see it when we open the box. He has no chance, we have no chance to give Him praise and honor and distinction that He truly deserves. I don't want to serve a God who's confined to this box. I want to serve a God who's outside this box, who's beyond this box, who's above this box. That's the kind of God I want to praise, the kind of God I want to honor, the kind of God that has great beauty and splendor. But let me tell you, my friends, what the 21st century church has done with God. This isn't the world. This is the church. We say that God is omniscient. He knows all things. Not according to some of the 21st century church. He has been stripped of His omniscience. God does not know all things. There's a new movement out there called the Emerging Church Movement. It has started a new belief that's called open theology. And open theology teaches that God does not know the future because it has not yet happened. And unfortunately, many independent and mainline denominations are boarding this open theology bandwagon. We say that God is omnipotent, that He's all-powerful. But the church today is stripping God of His omnipotence. God is not all-powerful. To give you an example, they would say evolution has taken the place of creation by divine design, and God must now bow His knee to what science is teaching all of us. Evolution is now neatly tucked in between Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 and Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, so God can still have some kind of role in the birth of our universe. And by the way, that's called the gap theory, and it's pioneered by a man named Schofield. So if you have a Schofield Bible, I would refrain from reading the commentary. Many independent and mainline denominations are boarding the evolution bandwagon. We say that God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. But now He's being stripped of His omnipresence. In my opinion, God cannot possibly be everywhere. Just turn on your TV and watch one of those religious channels. And you tell me if there's any fear of God in what those false teachers and what those heretics are pumping out to the masses and onto the poor. And they're doing it all in the name of Jesus? We say that God is sovereign, that God has absolute control over all things. But the church today is stripping God of His sovereignty. God is not in control of all things. We say that He's in control, and we would hear people in churches say He's in control, but let's certainly not teach it from the pulpit. And if sovereignty is never taught from the pulpit, then the people will never know it. And if the people never know it, then they don't have to worship the King of Kings. They can worship a Burger King, because now they can have God their way. They can have Him right here in the box. Right here where I can have Him the way that I want Him. To do exactly what I want God to do. To be exactly what I want God to be. To be available only when I want God to be available. God is omniscient. He does know all things. If He didn't know all things, then He didn't know Jesus Christ was going to the cross to die for our sins. And that's a problem. God does know all things. He wrote the last book of this Bible, which is the book of Revelation, which talks about how all things are going to end. How did He know that if He didn't already ordain it? The Bible does tell us God ordains the end from the beginning. God is omnipotent. He did create this world as we know it in 6 days. That's the kind of God that I want to serve. A God who's all-powerful. A God who can just speak and a whole creation comes into existence. Not one that I have to fit science into what the Word of God says. Or even worse, fit God into what science is saying. He is omnipresent. But sometimes I wonder how some of these TV evangelists get away with saying what they're saying without the fear of God being in them whatsoever. To prey on the poor. To send the TV evangelist your money. When all it's doing is making us poor and him richer. God is sovereign. He is in total, absolute control of all things. And if He's not, then we're in trouble. Because somebody else is in control. Maybe me, maybe you, even worse, maybe Satan. God is in sovereign control of all things. Praise the Lord. Church, it's time we quit thinking that God is human just like us. It's time we quit taming God to our liking. It's time that we quit being the master and allowing God to be our genie. We have lost sight of God's greatness. We don't bother with Him as long as life is good. Oh yes, but we do get angry with Him when we don't get what we want. We expect everything from Him, but we give Him nothing back in return. If we are really, really honest with ourselves, do we really know the God of the Bible anymore? Or is He a Burger King? Or is He just the God that we put in here and we kind of pull Him out when we want Him? In Exodus chapter 33, verse 13, Moses says this to God. Moses wanted God to teach him His ways. I do too. In chapter 33, verse 18, Moses wanted God to show him His glory. I do too. I want God to place me in the cleft of the rock so I can just get a little glimpse of who He is and what He really is. And that's all I want. I don't want to confine God to what I want Him to be. I want Him to show me who He is. Who wants to go there with me? Who wants to go there with me? Because I can tell you, my friends, that's where we're going. We're not going to a God that we create. We are not going to a God that we lock up in some box. We're not going to follow the teachings and these other things that we see on TV that God is some other kind of mystical genie. We're going to follow God of the Bible. And for some of us, that might come as a complete shock. But trust me, when we give in and say, God, show Your glory to me, not let me show my glory to you, you will be totally overwhelmed with what He has in store for you. The glory of God. The last couple weeks, I have just been saying this every time I can think of it. Lord, show me Your glory. Show me Your glory. Show me Your glory. And it's not like there's been some kind of bright light shining. And it's not like I went to the mail and there was a check for $100 in there. But I can just feel Him. He's right there. Because that's exactly where He wants us to be. But He can't be right beside us if we put Him in a box and put Him up on a shelf. And that's what we have done with God. This isn't the God I want to serve. I want to serve Him. I want to serve a God that's so far above me, so far beyond me, that He's going to take me places and show me things and do things in my life that is going to be such a blessing that my only response is going to be this: Lord, I praise Your name. So I ask once again, Beech Grove, that's where I want to go, and that's where we're going over the next couple weeks. We're going to talk about the glory of God. Are you with me? Because that's where we're going. If you want to go there, you come back next week, and the week after, and the week after. We're going to open up this Word, and we're not going to tell this Word what it says. We're going to let this Word tell us what it says. Because that's the way we read the Bible. And that's the God that we need to serve. And I know that that's the God that I want to serve. Saints, it's time that we open up the box and let Him out. Let's go to God in prayer.